RadioInfluence.com.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
And welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I am Jeff Crushell, the con man is here, and we're your weekly source for performance information. Reach out to us. Questions, comments, smart remarks, or if you have a topic or an idea you'd like us to look into, let us know. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Info at CrushPerformance is the email. On Twitter, follow me, at Jeff Crush. We don't tweet a lot, but when we do, it's usually because we've had something interesting to say or we found something that we want to share. And on the other social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and our YouTube channel, you can search out Crush Performance. Well, hey, today, a really big show. It's midsummer. And boy, oh boy, I don't even know where to start. So much going on right now. Woke up the other day and the virtual landscape of the NBA has changed, which is a topic we need to discuss. But also, a lot of interesting things going on this time of year as we start to see the rumblings of the NFL camps. The free agency periods are in full tilt. We'll talk about that in a moment because there's actually some very interesting things to talk about there. But with high school and college sports into their off season, summer seasons, and the NHL, NBA down into their off seasons, this is a time where we really start thinking about player development, athlete development. And when we look at the big picture, we're in a really, really interesting place. We could see how sports have literally transformed themselves over the last 5 to 10 years. Athletes are bigger, faster, stronger. Analytics has literally changed every sport on the planet. And not just how we're playing the sports, but also how we're developing athletes to now play and compete within those sports. I honestly believe, despite all the noise and the chaos that's out there right now, there's more opportunity for developing athletes right now than there ever has been before in the history of sport. Simply because if you're a young athlete who has an interest and a passion to pursue a dream, there's great people out there with so much more knowledge than we've ever had before to help you achieve your goals. And if you don't know who those people are, you just have to start looking a little bit. There's a lot of really, really good people on every plane of athlete development. And that goes for our three core areas that we really, really focus on. And if you listen to the show, I hate to be redundant, but I can't help but say this one more time. When we are introduced to an organization or a player or a player agency, when we're sort of, you know, been hired or taken on as a consultant to help an organization or athlete succeed, there's three priorities that we look at first and foremost. And I want you guys to do this. If you're a parent, if you're a coach, if you're an administrator, or if you're those athletes, hopefully there's a lot of you listening right now. There's three things we look at right off the bat. And number one is sort of where you feel you are, your self-awareness, your self-evaluation, getting a clear understanding of where you're at. Because let's face it, we're terrible. We are literally, as human beings, very, very poor at self-evaluating. So, you know, you need help there sometimes, but it's really, really important that you understand truly where you're at. Not where your fans say you're at, not where your parents and your coach say you're at, but legitimately in your sport, in your point in development, where you're at in terms of your development and your peers and where you want to go. Very, very important. It's the starting point of your journey, and it is absolutely critical that this is done well. Second, you got to have an idea of what your passion level is and an understanding of what it's truly going to take to chase down your dream. And I'll say this again, and I say this all the time for people who listen to the show. We don't know how good you can get. We really don't. And anybody who tries to tell you you can't, shut them out. Shut them out. If they have some good input, ask them why and see maybe if they have some good input for you. But take that why, shove it in your back pocket, and just move forward and don't think about those people again. And, you know, realistic with all things considered, you know, you're not going to play in the NBA if you're 4 feet tall. You're not going to be an Olympic swimmer if you're 5'10", 280 pounds of solid muscle. Maybe you'll be a great running back, right? But whatever you choose, we basically self-select based on our genetics and our interests and our environment. But if you have a passion for a sport, get that starting point, understand where you're at, and then try to get an idea of what it's going to take to chase down your dream. Because I think a lot of young athletes and a lot of young performers, not just in sport, really underestimate what it takes. So now you got to find that program that's going to steer you along that way. And that's a big part of the puzzle as well. And then finally, and maybe most importantly, something that's very, very underrated in every sporting conversation that I've ever had around the globe and at every level is the financial model. It's reality. It's hardcore reality. And we don't want your parents taking out a third or fourth mortgage on their house. We don't want them, you know, selling everything to help you chase down your dream, though that's happening right now today. It's happened yesterday. It's going to happen tomorrow. But we need a realistic idea of a financial model that's going to allow you to chase down your dream. Those are the three areas: a great self-evaluation, understanding where you're at, a good picture of where you're going to go and what it's going to take to get there to be number one, having that clear set goal, and then three, making sure that financial model is in place. And then the next three pillars we look at, and this is something we talk to our athletes all the time, are the three areas that really need to be addressed if you're going to be successful. And that is, number one, the person and everything that's around you. Getting an idea of where you came from, where you're at, and why you are who you are right now. It's really important. And again, that's an idea, self-evaluation. It's a little more deep, but it's very important to get an understanding of who you are as a person and then how to get your life in control and all the controllables and all the variables that influence you right now. And then we have to look at you as a player inside of your sport and get a really clear evaluation of that. And then we have to understand where you are as an athlete. And those three are as important as the first three. So you have this onion that we slowly peel out. And once you understand and take care of all of those variables, then you could start getting to the nitty-gritty, the fun stuff. And that's performance development. And it's so much fun. Once you get there, it is so much fun. And again, we don't know how far you can go. Don't let anybody tell you you can't, because we don't really know until you've gone through the process. Once you do that initial evaluation and we get a clear understanding of where you're at and what the potential is moving forward, you can really start mapping out your path to chase down your dream. And listen, I have seen firsthand with my eyes players who have been shot down, turned down, thrown to the wayside and disregarded as future talents, come up and not just play at the highest level of sport, but impact the highest levels of sport. And we all know the stories of the great young phenoms, the prodigies and the great talents that are purported to come in and dominate and change the landscape, who just sort of fade away and never really do rise to their potential. Well, our job and the job of this show, but our job at Crush Performance is to try to even that out. Try to help those underdogs chase down the dream, because I'm a believer, man. Anybody who knows me, I'm a true believer. And for those athletes who are super talented, how do we take them to stardom? Because it's out there and greatness is up for grabs. If you read my book, Performance Plan, that's what it's all about, setting you up on this path. And that's why I wrote that book. I had no idea what I wanted to write about, but that's what it turned out. And again, thanks for all the kind words on that. It's been great. The audio book is still coming, by the way. It's been a work in progress. Just with our schedule, it's been tough. But that's going to be available here this summer for sure. But that's what it's all about. And then you get into the training. And if you listen to the show at all and know sort of where we're at, my honest opinion is we're at a point in professional sports and sport development where we're at a ceiling when it comes to the physical side. Technical, tactical, skill development, talent development, we got it. We understand it very, very well. Strength, speed, power, agility, movement. Well, listen to me. You want to jump higher. You want to be able to lift more. You want to run faster. Again, we can make that happen. We know how to do this stuff now. And so where are the next great opportunities for athlete development? Well, I really do believe it's going to lie, and I'm quite confident in this. It's going to lie in the advancements in technology, and not just equipment and apparel. I mean, that's what we've seen over the last, again, 5 to 10 years is incredible. But what's coming up, I think, is going to be even more impressive on the technology side. But our understanding of the mind, tapping into the mental performance of athletes. And I'm talking about the bio-neural feedback. I'm talking about heart rate variability. But more importantly, I'm talking about our ability to tap in and train the mind. And that's why I'm really, really excited for today's show. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk with Danny Dankner, the co-founder and CEO of IntelliGym. You can check out their website, IntelliGym.com. Fantastic stuff. And I've been watching this program for a number of years now. It first caught my attention because it's a computer-based program. And I'm thinking, okay, the computer-based technologies are going to be really, really interesting in sport performance world. And we've had many people on the show talking about vision training, reaction training, concussion protocols, return to play. But this one is a little bit different. And I've been watching them again, as I said, for years. Because what they're proposing is that we can help an athlete train some of the attributes that we had deemed intangible in the past. Things like game intelligence, decision-making in the heat of battle, awareness. It's cognitive training, brain training for performance. And not only that, they're showing a increased reduction in injuries. So they're reducing the risk of injuries. And anybody who listens to this show knows that we're big fans of anything that reduces the risk of injury. So coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about this with Danny Dankner, CEO of IntelliGym. I'm really looking forward to that because I think this is one of the platforms that's going to help us push human performance forward. I'm really excited about this conversation. Now, that being said, let's get back to what's happening in sport right now. Are you kidding me? I wake up the other day and all of a sudden, Los Angeles is the epicenter of professional basketball. Kawhi and Paul George to the Clippers. Then you have the Lakers. Then you have the Golden State Warriors. Listen, what a massive shift. And again, this is a great indication of how important talent is in today's sporting landscape. And of course, the basketball world being a little bit different where one or two players can change the future of a franchise. We saw it right now. We saw a power shift in the entire league. This is great for basketball, for starters. But Kawhi is a real interesting move. Really feel bad for Toronto. This is a huge loss for Toronto. We'll see how they react. But all of a sudden, Toronto's not even in the discussion for next year's championship. They're currently holding the trophy and nobody's even talking about them right now. So won't it be interesting to watch the Raptors and see how they respond to this? But this Kawhi move makes me think of LeBron, makes me think of all the moves that have happened recently in basketball, and it got me thinking about all the sports. And that brings us to today's question of the day. The question of the day: what is the most painful player move in history? You guys can get to us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Write to us on our email. Post it on Facebook, and I'll be putting this question out there. And we're going to pick somebody from one of our social media platforms, and we're going to send you one of my books. And I hope you enjoy it. I'm actually very proud of the book. You know, I never thought I would write one, but the more feedback I get, especially from the athletes we work with, the more I think we're really maybe helping some people out. So we're going to pick somebody from our answer pool on social media and on our email as well, info@crushperformance. Let us know what you think is the most painful player move in history. Some that come to mind, the Gretzky move, the Edmonton Oilers. If you're a hockey fan, and if you know anything about sport, when the Edmonton Oilers, when Peter Pocklington traded Gretzky to the Los Angeles Kings, oh my goodness, that was one of the most maybe upsetting moves since maybe Babe Ruth back in the day. Gretzky basically sold to the Los Angeles Kings. Babe Ruth sold to the Red Sox, starting the curse of the Bambino, which Boston eventually finally overcame. But how about that? There's other ones out there. You can think about LeBron leaving Cleveland. Oh, my heart still aches for Cleveland and Cleveland fans. But the question of the day again, what are the most painful? What do you feel is the most painful player move in history? Let us know. Again, we're going to pick somebody from our pool of answers. We're going to send you a book and maybe a few other things as well. So let us know what you think. You know, this free agency thing has really, really been fun to watch. NHL free agency was interesting. There were some cool moves in the NHL free agency. I think as I get older, I'm starting to appreciate this side of sport more. And when I was young, of course, I was an athlete. myself, and I was never great at any sport. I was good at many sports. So in my profession as a sports science and strength and conditioning guy, player performance guy, it served me really well playing all these different sports because I'm good at a lot of things, but I never had the mentality to dive in and get great. It's one of the reasons I appreciate and respect professional athletes so much. And there are opportunities out there. In the NHL, there were a lot of really interesting moves. And I'm really enjoying this part of the game now. I still love working with the guys, working with the players and the athletes, the guys and girls, and helping them tap into their true potential. I love that side of it. Don't get me wrong. That's really the sweet spot. But watching organizations try to position themselves for success. And the first day of the NHL free agency was interesting, but the NBA free agency blew me away. In day one, there was pretty much $3 billion in player signings. In day one. And you could start to see the power shift. And then, of course, a few days later, the Kawhi trade totally shifted the landscape. So all of a sudden, NBA is on our radar, front and center, probably for this next year for sure. But the free agency side of it's really interesting. And I think my point here is there's great, great opportunities out there for athletes right now. Athletes who are now competing to get better. Athletes who are now competing to get their first pro contract, their first college scholarship, their first high school start, or their first academy team, travel team, national team, Olympics. Oh, the things we know now. If I could go back to my late 20s, early 30s, and start with those athletes again. Oh, I can't imagine. I mean, we did some really good things, and I'm pretty proud of all the work that we did in all those different sports with all those athletes. But oh boy, oh boy. Well, coming up after this break is a new weapon in the arsenal of helping our athletes develop. We're going to talk with Danny Dankner, co-founder and CEO of IntelliGym. Could this be one of the tools that's going to push human performance forward? We're going to find out right after this on Crush Performance.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Listen, if you want to get in touch with us, reach out. Crushperformance.com is the website. Sign up for our newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, and get hooked up with the world of human performance. That's what we're all about. On Twitter, follow me at Jeff Crush. And on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, you can search out Crush Performance and hook up with us there. Well, I wanted to get into this conversation. As you all know, I truly do believe that the next areas that are going to provide the greatest potential for pushing human performance forward are our ability to train and tap into the mind and the technology that's going to allow us to do that. We have the technology in terms of equipment. We've got that. We've got the clothing. We've got the wearable technologies. We've got the monitoring, the GPS. We've got the recovery systems. The technology is really, really advancing. But what I'm most intrigued about is the technology that's now allowing us to get into the mind of our athletes, train the mind of our athletes. And I've been following a company for about 4 or 5 years that has been of great, great interest to me. It's called IntelliGym. And I think one of the things that really intrigued me about this company was the fact that, yes, it was a technology company. It was computer-based. And, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, even 10 years ago when they first started, the computer-based athlete training was just at its infancy. They've come a long ways. But it wasn't just another twist on vision training or player evaluations. This was a very, very interesting twist. They were talking about getting into and training the intangibles of athlete performance, those things that we thought were just all natural. And we know that that's not true anymore. There's not a lot that we can't train given the interest of the athlete, the time and the resources. But the intangibles like game intelligence, decision making, reaction times, all these things that we just thought were natural in an athlete, well, they're not. They're incredibly trainable. And not only are they peaking performance and pushing performance forward, but they're also decreasing the risk of injuries. So I'm very glad when I reached out to the company all the way over in Israel, I was able to connect with Danny Dankner, the co-founder and CEO of IntelliGym. Danny, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
Well, I've been excited about this conversation, Danny. In our estimate, you know, we're kind of at a point where we believe we're at a physical ceiling. We're at a ceiling when it comes to athlete development. And the two areas that I really believe
are left wide open to unharness future human potential are technology and understanding and training the mind, and that is right in your wheelhouse, Danny. Hey, maybe give us a little background on IntelliGym, how you got involved in it, and maybe to give our listeners an idea of what the program is all about, because I'm really excited about this program.
Yep. Yeah. So right off the bat, Jeff, you hit it upon the head. This is exactly what we do. We deal with players and athletes' performance by boosting their brain skills. That's basically what we do, and that is a very important part in the performance, as we all know, decision making, being able to read and react and do things faster and more accurately. So. How we started, so actually the technology that we use for training players and athletes started in the Air Force. And this is personally where I come from. I'm an ex-Air Force officer. And we founded a company more than 10 years ago. And interestingly, we have four co-founders. Two of them are Air Force, are from the Air Force. And the other two are PhDs dealing with cognitive performance. So in the Air Force, there was an interesting study that showed that if you use certain type of training, of brain training, to the pilots, you actually can make them make better decisions in shorter time and fewer mistakes. And when I saw the results, I was stunned. The study showed more than 30% increase in the performance of the pilots in the cockpit, which was like unheard of. So I approached the same research team and I asked, can this be applied to sports as well? And they looked into sports and particularly team sports, and they say, absolutely. You know, interestingly, there is a lot in common between fighter pilots and competitive athletes. So this is where we started, putting together a computerized training program to improve the performance of athletes.
Danny, I really like the whole concept here, and I love the fact that this sort of started with a military background, because I think, in the real world, there's nothing more serious than what our armed forces are doing, no question about it. I did read the study on the cadets in the flight performance. Fantastic stuff. I also was really, really intrigued by the NASA study that looked at the game called Space Fortress for the Apache helicopters, and the results there were absolutely staggering. I mean, if you just looked at the graduation rate of the participants who used the cognitive training, 100% graduation rate from that program, as opposed to only 18% of graduation rate for subjects that went through traditional training. So there's definitely something here. I really like the concept, and it all comes down to sort of this brain training concept, which we've talked about on the show before, but you guys add a nice little different twist with the applied cognitive engineering and the cognitive stimulation. And I think this is a real, real big part of human performance moving forward, if we can get it into the hands of the people that need it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And the study that you mentioned, I think there are two points there that stood out that were pretty amazing for us. First of all, it was the first time that they actually managed to show a very significant transfer of skill from the computerized environment to real life. Because when we train athletes, or when the Air Force trains pilots, we don't care what is your score on the computer. All we care about is how much are you getting better on the field.
Right.
Okay. And this was the first time when they actually managed to show a major transfer of skills and an improvement of those guys who went through this training program compared to the control group. So that was one, outstanding outcome of the study. And the other one, which is somewhat, to some extent, counterintuitive, is that the training program that they have used has what we call low-fidelity simulation, which means that you train in front of a computer, but in fact what you're seeing in front of you is not a simulation of the actual environment. So in the case of the pilots, they were not using flight simulation, and in the case of sports, you're not using a quote-unquote video game that looks like the actual environment, which turns out to be not good for you, okay, in fact. So here we use the cognitive components, the brain components that are needed to excel on the field or on the ice, depending on the sport. But then it doesn't look like the real thing. And maybe the third point is that it doesn't need tons of training. All it takes is just an hour of training a week. So we have two training sessions for half an hour, and that's pretty much what makes the difference after a short while.
Danny, I really...
That's what the research indicated, yes.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this because I think one of the apprehensions we have right now when it comes to, you know, the virtual reality and some of the computer gaming software that's, you know, designed to improve sport performance and reaction times, there's a lot of, I think, disconnect between the understanding of how a computer screen can mesh in with real life sport. And I think we get so caught up in sport specificity that sometimes it sets us back. I look at this as sort of a cross-training tool that could be really, really useful for building well-rounded, robust subjects that can really, really then excel in their area of expertise, no matter if it's being an Air Force pilot, like a Top Gun pilot or an Apache helicopter or an athlete in sport. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And here I think we can distinguish between different skills that are needed. If we're talking about tactical skills, okay, so these are actual scenarios that happen on the field or on the ice. Okay, we are 3-on-2. This is where the locations are. What should I do? So for tactical purposes, you know, to learning systems, a simulation could actually be good. But if you want to train the fundamental brain skills that are needed for the game, you know, how fast can I track multiple objects? Or how good can I anticipate? Or can I know who is behind me? Or can I do the extrapolation, the transition between what happens on the coach's board to real life, you know, happenings? These are all fundamental brain skills that needed to be trained on a different scenario. Okay, so these are two different skills that are needed to be developed.
Yeah, I like it. We're talking with Danny Daneker, the CEO and co-founder of Intelligen. Danny, the applied cognitive engineering, I just like the sounds of that. It might scare a few people out there, but I'm kind of loving this whole concept. Maybe tell us about ACE.
Okay, so in ACE, what we do is to put together cognitive training programs to develop the mental ability or the cognitive, what many people would refer to as game intelligence skills. And that's basically what we do. And we train nowadays more than 50,000 players that are using the program, all the way from, you know, 10-year-olds up to professional players. Okay. And as far as the development of the company, we invest a lot of our resources in actual research, because the core of what we do is actually to make players better on the field. That's the whole goal. And it takes a lot of study and a lot of research and trial and error until you get to a system that can actually show that you have better performance on the ice.
And I like the idea of this type of training because it kind of gets away from, I think, the sort of classic computer training that we're seeing right now that is sort of focused more on visual performance. I like the idea of reaction times. I like the idea of awareness. But I really, really like the idea, Danny, of using these types of programs to improve what you just said, game intelligence. That's something that has sort of been left to the on-field practice and the number of hours and the type of training you do in the real life sort of arena of your sport. But when we can start improving game intelligence and decision-making away from the field, what an opportunity this brings about.
Oh, so this is actually, the next frontier in performance enhancement, because now we know that we have very, you know, robust protocols, how to train physical skills and how to train tactics, and even how to train the game fundamentals of, let's say, if you're playing hockey, you know, puck handling and skating, or in the case of soccer, how you control the ball and so on. But training decision-making, read and react, how to perceive what's going on around you, how to understand the game better and make better decisions. This is actually a field where coaches find very hard time to make significant improvements. And I think we're tapping into an area which will become eventually standard training for every athlete. And now we see that with the teams that we train. So the teams that are starting using the Intelligen, they adopt it, and you see the improvement in the way the players seeing the game, in the way they and the pace that they play, and so on and so forth. So we think that's just like you said, this is going to be part of the future of the training.
Great. We're talking with Danny Denkner, CEO and co-founder of Intelligen. Well, hey, Danny, I really like this, and I agree with you guys because, you know, as I said earlier on, we're at a ceiling of development. When it comes to the physical side, there is no question, given the time and the effort and the resources, and the resources can be vast or limited, we can increase speed, power, we can increase reaction times, we can do all this sort of thing from the physical side. So to get into the mind and train decision makings and, you know, the neurobiofeedback systems that we have available now are all very, very powerful. But this really rounds it out. When you talk about game intelligence, let's talk to our audience about what that means. I mean, we talk about this sort of a parameter when it comes to listening to the scouts talk about, you know, recruiting or evaluating new talents. This guy has a lot of game sense, or he's got a game intelligence. But when we're talking about it in terms of your program, what are sort of the concepts or the areas that you're looking at when you talk about game intelligence?
Oh, that's a great question. So, in fact, when you look deep into the details of what game intelligence is actually consisted of, and we do a very thorough research and mapping the brain skills that are needed, you see about, you know, 15 different skills. And let me just give you a few examples. So I think pretty obvious to everyone why anticipation is needed. Okay, anticipation is the ability to predict how the play is about to pan out or to evolve, you know, a few seconds ahead. So anticipation is obviously very important for you to make the right decision. You can think about spatial awareness. Okay, this is where knowing where everybody is around you and being able to know where your location is, both of your teammates and opponents, of course. That's the second. The third one would be working memory. So think about a player who takes a very fast glimpse to what happens behind him or her. And now when he or she moves forward, they still need to process in their brain what's going on behind them. We sometimes see the no-look passes. This is because those players, they have very good working memory and they can process the information and the locations of the players that are outside their immediate field of view. Another would be divided attention. How can you look at two things or three things simultaneously? Okay. Found to be highly important in sports. Pattern recognition would be one. Okay, how fast can you actually make the transition between the patterns that you have practiced for and the stuff that you actually see on the field? You know, another example would be task switching. How fast, you know, some coaches would call it transition game. How fast can you move from offense to defense? You know, sometimes this is critical, but this, your brain needs actually to have the information and to do a very fast switch from one game plan to the other. So again, that is a skill that can be trained and can be excelled. Okay, and so on and so forth. So there is a long list of brain cognitive skills that if they are trained properly, you can actually really make a big difference on the field.
Danny, I really like this. We're talking with Danny Denkner, CEO and co-founder of Intelligen. Danny, I really, really like this, and I can see the potential here. And I know you guys have been at this for quite some time. You have a very, very strong hockey platform and also a very strong soccer platform. For our listeners, you can go to intelligym.com to check it out. And on the website, I really like some of the graphics you have, Danny. In the hockey side, you have a percentage mapped towards the brain, and then you have a percentage mapped towards, okay, 58% pass, 30% shoot. And this is what we're talking about, trying to make those decisions in the heat of battle. And now that this is a trainable commodity, I think we're looking to a pretty exciting push in terms of human performance. I really like the concept.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And what we are doing all the time is to measure the correlations between the cognitive performance and what actually happens on the ice. There is another aspect to that, which is we were surprised for us, but it turns out that the intelligent trainees, the hockey ones, they have reduced rates of injuries, and particularly head injuries, which was another part of the research. And when we looked into the details, it turns out that the vast majority of players of on-ice injuries happen because of unanticipated hits. So you got hit and you were not ready for that. So if you have better spatial awareness, and you know who is behind you, you're less likely to be in a position where you would be hit. So we've seen 30% reduction in head and neck injuries for the guys who went through this program.
Those are big numbers. Anytime we can impact player safety, I think that's really important. And one of the things we've been working on in our programs, Danny, is doing sort of like a mental warm-up. And I like the idea of the awareness factor, because I think we spend so much time, you know, warming up physically. Sometimes we forget that the mind also can be warmed up and stimulated as we step into a competitive or training environment. And that's exactly what's happening here. When we see numbers like 15% decrease of on-ice injuries, 30% decrease in head and neck injuries, and like in your soccer platform, a 27 to 30% improvement in overall on-field performance. Danny, these are huge, huge numbers from athlete safety and also performance side, and it all comes back to this really integrated program you guys have that takes place on a computer. So for athletes out there, Danny, how does it work for an athlete to get involved, and what kind of time commitment? How does the program work now?
Okay, so as far as the athletes are concerned, this is pretty easy and simple to implement. All you need to do is to have a computer, would that be a Windows or a Mac. You download the software to your computer, and you start training. And all the instructions are in there, and what it takes is half an hour of a training session to be carried out twice a week. Okay, so in total, we're talking about an hour a week of training, which is what is needed to see the results. And the players that are doing Intel Gym, as I mentioned, they're all the way from 10 years old. We have actually many players who are like, I would say 13 to 17. That would be the vast majority of our trainees, players who are looking to make it to the next level. And that's basically what they do. And an important part of the training is that the program automatically personalizes the training to each and every trainee. So every trainee has a username and password. You log into the program, and it measures your improvement and progress in various aspects of the cognitive spectrum. And then the next time you log in, you would get a program that is specifically personalized for you with the right difficulty levels and the right challenges for you to make sure that you are going to be better on the field.
Yeah, and I like that because everybody's going to progress in a different rate, and everybody has a different skill set or different backgrounds in terms of development, and also position by position, there's different requirements there. So I love the idea that it gets individualized.
Absolutely. So you're right. So first of all, there are position differences, there are gender differences, and there are age differences. And age, not necessarily the biological age, but this, we're talking about the cognitive development age. So again, it has to be adapted very specifically to every person. And I can say even more than that. You know, consider, for example, a player who is doing his brain workout on IntelliGym, and he didn't have enough night sleep during that night. So we will see right away that his cognitive performance today is not, you know, comparable to what he has done 3 days ago. So the program automatically would be changing the challenges to make sure that this training session would be effective as well to the extent it can be.
Yeah, and I like it. And you just mentioned there gender differences, age differences. This is appropriate pretty much for any age. And I can see a compound effect happening here. If we were to start a 10-year-old on a program like this and progressively have him do it over the years, as opposed to having a 20-year-old start it, to start this early, I can see many implications. And whether an athlete stays in a particular sport, I think the skills developed here transfer to almost any platform, don't they?
Yes, you're absolutely right. So indeed, we're getting many emails of people asking about intelligence to different sports, and not only sports, by the way. Think about drivers, and think about, you know, people, surgeons, people that have to make decisions under pressure. So the intelligence technology could be actually implemented to a very wide range of areas other than sports.
Yeah, well, I like it. And I keep thinking about the Top Gun side of it, you know, the Air Force guys and the pilots and how important it is for those guys. And you know, so the multi-platform here is just incredible. So let me sort of see if I can sum this up, Danny. We've got a technology that allows us to tap into and train the brain in ways that we've never have before. It's increasing on-field performance. It's decreasing injuries. And at the end of the day, whenever an athlete gets better, it also increases confidence. It's not just in their sport, but in life as well. So I think this is a trifecta, if not a grand slam all around, in my opinion. Really, really interesting stuff. What is next for IntelliGym, Danny?
So we are obviously doing a lot of work to you know, calibrate the program. One of our goals right now, we have the largest database in the world, as far as we know, of cognitive performance of athletes. So we're getting more and more data on that, and we want to use this program also for evaluation and assessment. Another front that we're very much interested in is to go deeper into the injury prevention angle. So we're looking to work with, you know, with entities or organizations that are interested to further investigate the injury reduction, because we think that in particularly in contact sports, that could be very, very helpful. And also, we obviously what we want to do is to move into other sports fields. So we have a lot on our plate, and a lot of plans.
Yeah, exactly. And I can see the crossover into many, many sports here. I think there's implications in every single sport, and I'm pretty excited to see how it comes together for games like baseball or the track and field, the reaction ones, football especially, because the hockey platform and the soccer platform are really, really smart.
Yep, and I think that's right up our alley. We'll definitely go that path.
Yeah, so if people want to get more information, you can go to intelligym.com. We'll have those links up on our website and links in our podcast as well. Danny, thank you so much for the conversation today. I know you're on the other side of the world, and to connect here with you, it's just been an absolute treat today.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
And there you have it, everybody. Great, great conversation from Danny Dankner, CEO and co-founder of IntelliGym. If you want to go check them out again, go to IntelliGym.com. Fantastic information. And again, this platform is just growing. They have their hockey program and their soccer program and much, much more on the way. So we'll continue to watch this company with great, great interest. Hey, we have to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this conversation. A couple comments I just want to follow up on, and we're going to set up the upcoming show, MLB All-Star Break, the midseason. Where are we at with injuries? Where are we at with performance? And the game of baseball in general. I think it's in a good place, and I think it's going in the right direction. What do you think? We'll talk about it right after this on Crush Performance.
If you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
And welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here. What a great conversation with Danny Dankner of IntelliGym. Fantastic stuff. If you want to go back and listen to that podcast, I already have. You can go to crushperformance.com. Subscribe to our podcast, get our newsletter, and get to us on all of our social media platforms there for sure. But what a fantastic conversation. I really, really appreciate Danny for coming on all the way from Israel, short notice, because I've been really intrigued by this company, as I mentioned, for years and years. But to get a little insight as to where the company came from, what their platform is and what they're thinking and where they plan to go is really, really interesting. Again, I can't help but think that the technology that's allowing us to not just train the brain, but train the brain in real time is going to be the next huge opportunity for pushing human performance forward. And I think this is going to be one of those tools, a little bit different than some of the things we've looked at before in terms of sport vision, computer-based sport vision programs, which are useful tools. And the cognitive training that we've seen in terms of the bio and neurofeedback, incredibly useful tools. Stuff that we've never been able to do before. But now, being able to train an athlete to improve game intelligence, anticipation, game decision-making, real-time? Come on, that's incredible. And not only that, their data really does significantly show that there's an impact on the field. Maybe most importantly for me, everybody, is the fact that not only are we improving athlete performance, but we're decreasing their risk of injury, and by a big, big number. And one of the most dangerous injuries out there, the head injuries. A 30% decrease in head injuries and concussions in hockey, and similar numbers in soccer. And in soccer, a 27 to 30% improvement in overall on-field performance. Wow. Are you kidding me? Incredible. And this is what I'm talking about. I get really jacked up about this kind of stuff because we haven't had this before, at least not at this level. And IntelliGym and talking to Danny, they're only going to get better. And I'm going to stay in close touch with these guys because I love this stuff, as everybody knows. So go check them out. Again, go to our website, crushperformance.com. Get the podcast. Share this one. And if you're an organization, you better be thinking about this stuff. If you're an individual athlete trying to fend for yourself out there, these are the tools you need to start looking into. Listen, getting stronger, getting faster, improving performance, talent and skill development, skill acquisition. We know about this stuff. It can be programmed in. Everybody's doing it. Listen to me. Everybody's doing it. Some better than others. There's good, really good programs out there. There's not good programs. There's programs that aren't that good out there. But it's this type of thing right now that we're talking about today on this show that's going to push it forward. So I want to thank Danny about that. But to go back and just a couple comments about this, the fact that it came from that Air Force background. And when we talk about our military and our first responders, that's a very different game and something that we all take very, very seriously. Even, you know, though our profession is sport, where it's fun and games, serious as that might be to all of us, when we're talking about our military and our first responders, hey, that's real stuff. Helping them stay safe, helping them stay healthy. Sometimes it's life and death out there. So I really love this background and where it came from. And we've seen this before where that military medical background is shifted over to help our athletes. And it's a beautiful thing. I really like when this happens. But when we talk about Air Force pilots, like Top Gun pilots, and the massive improvement, 30% increase in flight performance for cadets in just 10 hours of a program like this, it's no question that it's sort of seeped into the sporting world for sure. But to influence those attributes that we typically thought were intangible in the past, well, wow, this is what we're talking about. Love it. So I want to thank Danny once again for that. Listen, we got to wrap up the show. It's a really quick exit here, but want to thank Danny for coming on. Coming up next week, we're going to talk about the Midseason Classic. It's going on right now. We're going to talk about the Commissioner's Cup. We're going to talk about the Home Run Derby. Midseason baseball, where are we at? Where are we at with the injuries? If you're a sports fan, regardless of what sport you watch, you got to be interested in baseball right now. The game is going crazy. Home runs, defense, analytics. It's really leading sport in a lot of different areas. And if you're an athlete on the development side, you better be watching baseball, because I don't think we've ever seen such a drastic change in player development and analytics and numbers and the way we're using sports science to push human performance in sport forward like we are in the game of baseball. That's coming up next week. I want to thank all of you guys for listening. One more thanks to Danny for coming on. And it's such a great show. Really proud of this one. So share it with your friends and family and, of course, your teammates as well. And we'll talk to you next time on Crush Performance. Remember, we're here to help you think like an athlete.
Bye now. Don't forget to write.
This is A Dark to Light with Frank and Beans Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
People freaked out immediately because it was the Southern District of New York at all. And just automatically the assumption about the Southern District, rightfully so, is that they're corrupt and they don't do anything but try to get Trump. Like, there are no legitimate investigations being run out of the Southern District. It is completely corrupted. Nothing good happens there. And I think personally that's irresponsible, just because there are other people working in that district that are not Eric Schneiderman-esque, Preet Bharara-esque folks. While I understand, you still have to be objective about things. Just don't make assumptions, because you really don't know. You don't know.
What did the indictment say today? Is Maureen Comey's name anywhere on it?
No.
Would it have been if she was one of the prosecutors bringing this forward?
Not necessarily, and that's the thing. So Jeffrey Berman is on it. He's the U.S. attorney appointed by Trump. Republican U.S. attorney. Now, people are digging through his stuff and finding reasons why this won't go well because he's in charge of it. I mean, it's just crazy. So there are several U.S. assistant U.S. attorneys in the Southern District, and they're often listed on every case. That doesn't necessarily mean that they work the case specifically. It means that the team that's working the case reports to them or whatever. And separately, in addition to that, is that there are other agencies involved in this case, not just the Southern District of New York. So the fact that that is all happening here, we've got Customs and Border Patrol, we've got the Public Corruptions Unit, we've got the FBI, we've got the actual local there, we've got the Florida, you know, it's all different people, to make the assumption that because Maureen Comey is an assistant U.S. attorney in that district, the entire case is going to blow to smithereens is just irresponsible.
Dark to Light with Frank and Beans can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.